Hello.
Okay.
Yes.
5, 4, 3, 2. Hi, this is the Daily Parasha Weekly Summary. I'm Cam and I'm with Claire.
Hello.
We are co-authors of Daily Parasha Bereshit or Genesis. Hey, Claire, how are you?
Hey, Cam, I'm good. How are you?
Okay, so just a little about Daily Parasha. We actually began this project as a book entitled Parasha Minute so many years ago. It was self-published in 2016, actually. We wrote with the intention of capturing short but targeted insights from the selected week's Parasha. So we've always talked about having a podcast, but was iffy about the format, remember?
Yeah.
And COVID has given us the perfect opportunity, weirdly enough.
Yeah, the time and the platform just kind of, you know, opened itself up to us.
Right. And so, because I found Anchor app through our friend. And so we began trying it out. And so far, it's been okay. Right.
Yes. Quick shout out to Ardith Blumenthal, who gave us the encouragement.
Woohoo! Who also hosts her podcast on the Anchor app. So, yeah. Okay. So, I'll get into it now. The week one summary is actually on the parasha entitled Bereshit or Genesis, which is the same as the book. And we'll be going over some key insights on Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, up to chapter 6 to 8. Oh, sorry. Chapter 6, verse 8. With Claire, along with, you know, like hits on passages from Isaiah, John, and Romans. But first off, I wanted to ask you, Claire, how you got into the Parasha way of Bible study.
I would say about 10 years ago, I started taking college level classes again, and I was studying literature, and I learned new ways of looking at text and how to really read something by just objectively looking at what the text was saying without adding my own and usually flawed interpretation. And so it's just basically just honoring what the text was saying and discovering later that context was really so important. And so I got to thinking that maybe this is how scripture should be approached, and I'd been doing it wrong the entire time. And then, of course, that was kind of like at the same time we were meeting often in Singapore, and then over dinner one day you explained, hey, did you ever consider looking at the Bible this way? You know, my dad teaches this kind of way of looking at it, which looks at the Hebraic context. And immediately, like, my ears like perked up. I said, what's that? What is that? So it's basically just looking at the culture of in which the book was produced. And that changed everything for me. Instead of what we're normally taught to look at it, a division between Old and New, Testament, New Testament, it really is just one continuous story.
It's true. Yeah.
Yes, yes. And then yeah, that just kind of started it. I was looking at it in a very different light from then on. It has just been this ongoing journey deeper and deeper into this kind of understanding. I cannot say that I'm, you know, more knowledgeable now than I was maybe 5 or 6 years ago. I'm still very much a
student. So many layers, right?
Yes, so many layers.
Yeah. I think also, like, if you've been a Christian a while or whatever, like, even, you know, like, if the Bible is so common to you, it's part of your day-to-day, you often forget that it was written, I don't know, like 3,000-5,000 years ago or more, I don't know, more or less. Yes. And the context of how it was given was so different. I mean, you know, like, there's nothing new under the sun, but just the circumstances and, you know, the culture of that time. So
yes.
And you and you said something earlier about Hebraic, right? Because I guess, like, we read the Bible in English, but originally it was captured in Hebrew and Aramaic. And of course, you know that, right? From, like, a linguistics point of view, all the nuances and you know, just the weight of how the words play out. It's so different, in a different language. Plus culture, plus.
So much that we miss out when we just approach it in the way in which we're maybe trained to see it as you know, as children growing up, going to church and all of that. All of a sudden you realize you've just been skimming the surface and studying it in this way, which you kind of pointed out to me early on, was that you become aware of the authors of these books, who they were writing for, and the context in which they lived, and who the story was really written for, the Jewish people and their relationship with God.
Yeah. So, and the thing is, like, okay, like, just the thing though, for our listeners, because we speak freely about parasha study, parasha way of study. So I recorded like a how-to. It's one of the episodes, a how-to, and do we need it? And coming up will be one about the Torah. Is it still relevant? Isn't it an old book? So, you know, we'll go into discovery of that. But yeah, exactly what Claire said, you know, is so important. Context is really the main thing in order to understanding fully what the author or what the speaker intended anyway, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, okay, let's get into it. So generally, mm-hmm. on the book of Genesis as a whole, how was it different when you were studying and writing, you know, the passages from your previous past encounters with the book? What was, like, one or some of your biggest discoveries, like just a motherhood general?
I think I would probably be speaking for many people who are familiar with bits and pieces of these stories. We've been exposed to it in popular media and movies, for instance. Who has not seen the Ten Commandments, for instance, or Jesus of Nazareth, and all these great, you know, Hollywood depictions of this great book. And so we are familiar with bits and pieces. I think culturally it's something that's kind of embedded no matter where you grew up or what your exposure was. But I had never considered looking at scripture as this whole story in which all of these, like, different puzzle pieces just click into place. Mm-hmm. And I think what really spoke to me, especially as someone who loves to read and write, is the beautiful balance and the symmetry in the book is just mind-blowing.
Wow.
It's just completely balanced. There are no contradictions if you really dig into it deep enough. There are zero contradictions. It's very consistent. And this is just, you know, looking at it, like you said, you're looking at the first six chapters of Genesis, and then you layer on, you know, readings from the prophets and the New Testament. And it just kind of all comes together. It's very, it's comprehensive. It's all these little puzzle pieces just falling into place.
And we always thought that they were just separate books, right? And never really taking cues or looking for patterns of how they probably could be complementing each other.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly right. Yeah. Nothing is out of place here. Nothing is. So we have to look at it also in that way, to take one book or one passage and rip it from its, I guess, narrative context. You miss out on so much.
Wow. Okay. That's interesting. All right. So when you were starting to, you know, get into the passages, so there's 7 days, what were, like, your favorite passages, and, you know, how did it hit you? And then I'll reserve my second question for later.
There's so many, actually. There are so many things that I love about this first kind of installment, I guess, of the beginning of this people, this, you know, the Jewish people. So week one, you say it covers chapters 1 to 6. And of so many favorite passages, but I think if I were to pick one or two, the instructions given to mankind, to humankind in the creation story, which is to manage the earth. That for me is like a general instruction to humankind and what they're supposed to, the relationship with
like the job description, right?
The job description, what we're supposed to be here for, how we're co-managers or co-collaborators with God in managing this place because he gave it to us. So I think that's, like, always at the back of my mind. It's like, how far have we fallen from this original calling? So I guess what happens is because of that initial fall in Genesis 3:15, we spend all of this time throughout the Bible trying to get back to that sweet spot where we're in step with God, we're listening to him, and we understand why we're here and what he wants of us.
Wow.
Yeah.
I think it's not as difficult now. Well, for some it is during COVID because you're locked down, but it's always easy to lose step and just run ahead.
I mean, you know, that's how we're, I guess we're brought up that way. Like grab at opportunities, you know, do what feels good, do what you think is right. But that's what got us into trouble in the first place.
That's true. So,
yeah.
Well, so I'm just looking at, I mentioned we published the book, right? So it's in front of me right now. And I'm just looking through, paging through the 7 days. And you said something about God's comfort in Isaiah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So how does that relate to the whole...
It all goes back to the fall. And I think the beauty of that is in recognizing that these people, though they lived thousands of years ago, they were flawed, they were hard-headed, and I mean, how are we not the same way? But these people were loved, and they were, you know, God never turned his back on them. He says, I am here for you, even though you've fallen so far away. And Isaiah speaks to that, because people at this point in history, they were facing invasion from all these northern kingdoms who were stronger. And they were just taken away, and then they lived in exile. And it was a dark time for them, much like it's a dark time for us now. And so I think this message here in Isaiah is really something that we can hold God to. Yes, that he'll always be there, even if...
Imagine, like, if you know down the line, if let's say you're living during the time of Isaiah, and you know that the earth was created especially for man, and then man messed it up.
Man messed it up, yeah.
Right?
Exactly.
And you're like, damn. And then suddenly... You know, you find yourself in a pickle again. You're being conquered and carried off to like Persia or whatever. So you can't help but feel, you know, really, really guilty and self-critical. I'm sure that's how the people of Israel felt who were being hauled off. But God still had the heart to send a word of comfort. Nice.
Yeah.
Okay, and then how about like the John bits?
That for me, because we're looking at it in this way, we're looking at it from the very beginning of Genesis, where the very beginning of Genesis, and by the time we get to John chapter 1 verses 1-4, we're like, hey, I've read this before, this sounds really familiar, it sounds just like this is in the beginning, of course, that's the first clue that we're looking at something that has been said before.
Right.
In the beginning was the Word. And in Genesis, it says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And so you realize, John here is talking to people who are familiar with this opening line of Genesis. And so that immediately should kind of like stir up a moment of recognition. Oh, I know this phrase. What is it really saying? So it's John showing us he recognized who Yeshua really was. He's the Word, the co-creator together with God, who was there at the beginning. So it's like, okay, so this is the big reveal. This is the big reveal, you know, all of these things. The conqueror that we heard about in Genesis, who would, you know, crush the head of the serpent. Who's that? You know, and then we kind of like, then the comfort that God speaks about in Israel, in Isaiah. Who is that? Who is that? And then we find out who that is in John.
So, I don't know, I was always under the impression that like Jesus was like hiding out in heaven or wasn't really there. I don't know, maybe in my early encounters of Genesis, but yeah, for me too, like when I was reading it and I was reading it over again, I was like, oh my gosh, the three of them were there at the creation, right?
Yeah, so they were
the
all
Holy
there.
Spirit was also there.
He was there. All three of them were there. And this is revealed. I mean, it's just in the first three. The first three verses of Genesis. I mean, you could spend, I'm sure, hours just unpacking these three lines that many people, I think, are familiar with already, but then they don't really dig deep enough.
Yeah. So, okay, that's a question I'd like to ask our audience. If you guys can look through the first three verses, as Claire mentioned, or maybe the first chapter, and try to pinpoint where it came through that, you know, the King, the Son, and the Spirit were there.
We're not going to give it away.
We're not going to give it away. So you can either message us on our Facebook page, / Daily Parasha, or you can use the voice messaging or the text on Anchor, right? So, yes. Oh my gosh. So it's been great so far, but sorry, we just have to take a really quick break and we'll be right back.
Okay.
Yeah, so far we've gone through some of Claire's insights on the creation story, Adam's job, the fall, and how God provides comfort in Isaiah. And of course, this is through Jesus or Yeshua in John and reinforced again by Paul in Romans. And so for my final question is what I'd like to call the God surprise. So it's like, what did God surprise you with, or what was really outstanding or surprising from God when you're going through these passages, or maybe any major question you always had from before to get clarity or closure?
That's a big one. That's a big one. I think a lot of people, when they decide to open the Bible, they're really looking for, number one, their meaning, I guess. And why are we here? What are we doing here? And while Bereshit covers just the first six chapters where we meet the patriarchs, the ones in whom the seed of this story is planted, you know, we're introduced to characters, but also God's intent is offered to us, which is, you know, he really wants us to return to him. He's offering us this plan of salvation. And what it was really that drove it home to me was this return to an abundant life, which he designed for us in Eden. Is just such an ideal kind of, I don't know, I don't want to use the word utopia, but it's like where everything was provided for. You know, there was no worry.
That was the original plan anyway, right?
No worry, no anxiety. Everything was provided for, this perfect ecosystem that he had put together. This was his plan for us. And he told Adam and Eve, this is yours. This is for you to just enjoy my presence and the things that I have laid out for you. It's perfect. Mm-hmm. You just, you know. And so I think that's what really struck me, is like we will all spend our lives looking for that, going back to that place, returning to that abundant life that he had designed for us. And exactly where did we go wrong? How can I walk back now my actions so that I can make better choices and kind of like find my way back into a relationship with God? It's the human condition.
Yeah.
All of us are going through this kind of questioning. What am I doing here? What is the big plan for my life? Why are we here? It kind of like, it fits in really nicely with this overall story, of course, for Israel and the plans that God has for the nation of Israel. And so we have to decide, what side will you find yourselves on now? It's like, what choices will you make? Will you choose to be in step with the God of creation who really just wants the best for you?
Nice.
So I think that's like, overall, that's like, those things are laid out in those first six chapters, I think.
All of that, right? Just in the first six chapters.
It's the first six chapters, but then again, it only makes sense if you look at it together with what the prophets were saying, with what John eventually concludes, and then Paul kind of like making this comparison between what Torah was saying and what this really means for us as modern people. It really is. It's always been relevant. It's always just been there. We just never thought to look.
Yeah. Good one. So if I was
took
like
notes.
I know I did. I was like, I took notes. Sorry, I was like notes. Typing on my computer too while you were chatting. So if I was to just distill it, God's love in his original design was perfect, right? He just wanted us to be in utopia even. A version of heaven, but on earth. But despite our flaws as human beings, he's provided a way and a salvation for us to get back to that Eden-like life or state.
Yeah.
Yeah. Of course, flaws and all notwithstanding, but
flaws and all.
But that's just really his intent.
Yeah, I think I really want to quickly add also the reason why this resonated so deeply with me at the time when we were writing this 3 years ago. Mm. Has it been 3 years? And you can also relate to this. It's like we're all searching for home. Essentially, we're all exiled. Yes. Yeah. We're all exiled. Like the Jewish people were exiled. They just weren't in that perfect place where they could feel at home. They could feel secure. They could feel like they belonged to something. Mm-hmm. That, you know, so I think that's why this really spoke to me. This return to, you know, to Eden, mm-hmm. as it were. So,
gosh, my God, I'm not even going to go there because, like,
I know, right? That's like another podcast
for like another 30 minutes. Yes. But so those are just really amazing insights. Thank you so much for encapsulating everything for us. So yeah, I mean, so to our audience, if you guys have any questions or clarity on what we were discussing, please feel free to reach out to us. We'd love to engage with you. You know, so this is just like how we've been able to encounter God in Bereshit. And next week, Neil, our friend Neil, will share insights on the story and life of Noah. Mm-hmm. So thank you so much for sticking around till the end of this episode. So till next time, bye. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Shalom.